From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Between 2000 and 2009, the number of people diagnosed with melanoma, the most dangerous form of skin cancer, increased nearly 2% each year. Doctors say a big reason for the rising rate of skin cancer is the mislabeling and misuse of sunscreen. Partly as a result of these figures, the Federal Food and Drug Administration is rolling out new labeling rules this summer. Sunscreen bottles will look a bit different. To break down the changes and answer your questions about skin, we're joined by Dr. Andrea Calouse. She's medical director of the UW Dermatology Center at Roosevelt, and she's also an assistant professor of dermatology at the University of Washington. Dr. Calouse, thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks for asking me.
I got lots of questions, and I'm sure people listening do too, and you can call us at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, toll-free 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Now, those of us who buy sunscreen are accustomed to the labels with those numbers on them. How will that change this summer?
So the sunscreen labels are going to look a little different. The thing you're going to want to be looking for is a new term called broad spectrum. And that's the new label identification of sunscreen that tells you that it's going to cover both UVA and UVB. Those are the two types of ultraviolet light that can contribute to skin aging and to skin cancer. And in the past, some sunscreens didn't cover UVA adequately. And so the new FDA guidelines have allowed for sunscreens that do cover UVA and UVB to use this broad spectrum sunscreen labeling.
So without taking a close look at the label, you might end up not getting protection from one or the other?
That's right. Usually sunscreens are designed to protect against UVB, which mostly causes burning. But UVA has been identified as something that can contribute to skin cancer and aging as well. And so we want to be protected against that. There's not new ingredients out there. It's really the same ingredients. But before, you had to kind of look at that ingredient list of complex chemical names to kind of figure out which thing you're looking for. And now you can be, it's a little more simpler because you can look for something that says broad spectrum.
And that's an official label. That's not like natural. That's something
that's official.
That means something.
It means something. Mm-hmm. It means that it covers UVA proportionally to the UVB SPF rating. So you want to choose an SPF rating of, dermatologists advocate for 30 or higher. The FDA has allowed sunscreen manufacturers to put on a designation that says you're going to be protected against skin cancer and skin aging if it's SPF 15. But there is an incremental increase in protection up to SPF 30.
And when we say incremental, is it teeny tiny or is it significant?
You know, I think the SPF 15 covers about 92% of the UV rays. And I think when you go up to SPF 30, you're getting about 96 to 98% of the UV rays. Beyond SPF 30, though, we really start to get vanishingly small increases in protection. So above 30 may be overkill.
Now, when it comes to these new labels, I have to wonder why it took them until now and an FDA kind of requirement for them to be labeled appropriately and labeled with the full information. Were the companies that make these products just unaware of what they should have been doing? Or do we have any idea why they weren't labeled like this in the first place?
You know, I don't know exactly why the FDA has taken so long. I know there's been a lot of discussion over what kind of labeling program they were going to do. It's been years that they've been talking about a new labeling system for UVA. And initially, it was going to be some sort of star rating system. And then they really simplified it to just include this broad spectrum designation. But I think it makes it a lot easier for the consumer who's just in the drugstore looking for the best product.
Now, a lot of us, when we're in the sun and applying these products, we're also jumping in the water. And they used to be able to say waterproof, and I understand they've kind of backed off on that claim on labels too.
Yeah, because nothing's really truly waterproof. I mean, it comes off with rubbing, swimming, sweating. And so nothing's going to be labeled waterproof anymore, only water resistant. And it's going to be either 40 minutes or 80 minutes of water resistance. And that means that you need to reapply it if you've been sweating or in the water and out in the sun.
Dr. Calouse, it sounds like you think this is a good thing that they went forward and made these changes. Did they go far enough? Are there still things on the label that we really need to know about or that they could have done better?
I think that this is a good step. I mean, we need to make it simple enough that consumers can figure out what they want to choose. And I think this is a good step. It may be so subtle that I worry without educating patients and consumers that we may not even notice that it's happening. And so that's one thing that I wonder about. But I think it's a good, at least simplified step to be able to select the right sunscreen.
a lot more sun out today and in recent days, and there'll be a lot more as we move into the summer. Joining us to answer questions about skin cancer and anything having to do with skin, Dr. Andrea Kalous. She's a medical director at the UW Dermatology Center at Roosevelt. And let's go right to the phones. We've got David on the line. He's giving us a call today from Tacoma with a question for Dr. Kalous. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I've had some bouts of skin cancer, and the dermatologist at the time told me that was a result of exposure I had when I was a kid. So I'm wondering if I need to worry about it anymore, because any exposure I get now probably won't develop till I'm already gone.
That's a great question, David. One of the things that we know is that severe blistering sunburns when you're a kid do impact your lifetime risk for skin cancer. But we know that the game's not over even as you get older. There's a couple studies out of Australia that address two aspects of that. Precancerous lesions are less likely to develop on people who use daily sunscreen every day. And also, a study that just came out this week showed that people who are using daily sunscreen have decreased signs of skin aging after 5 years. So even, and those were sort of middle-aged participants in that study, so even when you're older, using daily sunscreen still probably makes a difference. So keep using the sunscreen.
Rico writes to us at conversation@kuow.org, where you can write also or give us a call, 206-543-5869. Rico says that my doctor told me that the expiration dates on sunscreen are completely arbitrary and nobody really knows how long they're good for. Is that true?
We don't necessarily know how long they're good for. The expiration dates are put on there as a guide to a consumer for when to discard their sunscreen. And I think you should probably follow those. We really want to prevent sunburn. Preventing sunburn, we think, really prevents skin cancer. So making sure you're using a product that's within its expiration window is a good idea.
Amy writes, what to do for my infant, 12 weeks old? My doc says sunscreen is considered toxic for babies under 6 months old, but what about non-chemical zinc oxide types? Sunscreen for infants.
Yeah, so great question. What we don't know is we don't have any clinical data to answer that question with. What we know is babies, they absorb a lot more stuff that's put on their skin than other individuals. So babies are going to be much more susceptible to some potential effects of something applied on their skin. Because we don't have adequate data, we usually just recommend no sunscreen, but keep them out of the sun. So keep them in the shade, covered up with clothing. And fortunately, we live in a climate that's not too hot, so it's easier to do in the Northwest.
Now, somewhere lodged in my brain is perhaps the factoid that here in the Northwest, because we see sun so infrequently, when we do, we run out and don't do proper protection and consequently have high rates of skin cancer compared to other parts of the country. Is that true?
We do have high rates of skin cancer here. And I think it is because we tend to have a prolonged period of time in which we don't get much sun exposure. Our skin gets very fair, which then makes a high risk for burning. And then we do forget that first spring day, we head on out, we don't have sunscreen on us, and then you get burned.
Damon's listening to us today in Squim, and if you just joined us, it's Ask the Dermatologist. We have with us Dr. Andrea Kalous, Medical Director of the UW Dermatology Center at Roosevelt, here to answer your questions at 206-543-5869. It's toll-free, 800-289-5869. Let's go to Damon in Squim. Damon, thanks for calling. What's your question?
Good afternoon. So I heard you all discussing the SPF numbers. I have a 3-year-old son, the children's marketed stuff touts, the higher numbers. So we have him in the SPF 100, but you're talking about the SPF 30. Beyond that, we're probably not getting much in the way of results.
Yeah, and I think what the main thing that people forget to do with sunscreen is actually reapply it. And so the other take-home point is if you have an SPF 30 sunscreen and then the directions are really to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours that you're out for prolonged exposure. So I think sometimes we've worried that people with higher SPFs think that it can protect them all day, and that's just not the case. Those types of SPFs are produced in a lab somewhere and may not reflect real-life experience. So a lot of the baby child sunscreens do tout really high SPFs, but I would still treat them as an SPF 30 reapply every 2 hours.
Damon, thanks a lot for your call. Larry's on the line in Kenmore this afternoon. Hi, Larry.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's your question?
Okay, two-part question. I've been told that melanoma, by the time it surfaces as a lesion, has already progressed to a fairly significant stage. So the second part of this question is, if that's the case, are there any tests underway or any way to determine whether or not melanoma is present?
And we should point out melanoma is the really deadly form of skin cancer. Is there any early detection for that, Dr. Kaluse?
Yeah, so melanoma, although it is deadly, when it's caught early actually is really, the cure rates for it are excellent. Caught early, melanoma 10-year survival rates can be upwards of 98%. So we want to catch it early. How do you tell if you have the potential for melanoma? One, you want to think about potential risk factors that you might have. So did you have blistering sunburns as a child? Do you have freckling? Do you have a lot of funny-looking moles on your skin? Do you have a family history of skin cancer and melanoma in particular? And then if you come, you want to be checking your skin. If you see a spot that has, we like to teach people the ABCDEs of melanoma detection, and A stands for asymmetry of the spot. So this one half of the spot does not look like the other half of the spot. B stands for border irregularity, and that means that the border of the brown spot on your skin has asymmetrical projections or is indistinct from the surrounding skin. C stands for color. Things that have a uniform, consistent color throughout are more likely to be normal than things that have multiple colors within them. So reds, blues, whites in a mole are something we don't like to see. Diameter is the D, and that's greater than 6 millimeters or the size of a pencil eraser. And then we add in E, which is anything that's evolving. So changing over time is a spot that you should have somebody look at.
So Larry, A, B, C, D, I don't know if you got all that down, but I'm sure there's websites that will also tell you about that if you wanted to Google A, B, C, D and skin cancer to remind you about those things that you can look at. But beyond what you can see yourself, is there any test that tells you that it before it becomes visible that it may evolve to melanoma?
The only definitive test to determine whether or not something's a melanoma is a biopsy of your skin, removing it, looking at it by a pathologist to determine whether or not it's a skin cancer.
Larry, thanks a lot for your phone call. Anything on the horizon that might improve that detection?
You know, there's a lot of different devices being looked at by the FDA and other developers to try to improve our ability to detect melanomas. But so far, none of them have been proven superior to a skin exam by a dermatologist.
Let's go to Kent, where we have My Sharona on the line. Not My Sharona, but it's Sharona. Thank you for calling. What's your question?
My question is about Asian skin and sunscreen. I grew up in India. I never wore sunscreen. And we had a lot of sun. And we didn't go out in the afternoon sun, but I was out in the sun. And now after I moved here, there's a little bit of sun. So I wonder, should I be wearing sunscreen? I don't know. I think I don't even change color here in the sun here. So.
So Sharona, that's an interesting question. People who have more pigment in their skin are more protected against skin cancer than people who are fair. So you do have some inherent natural protection for your skin. But at the same time, people with darker skin types can get skin cancer. And so it still might be a good idea to prevent sunburns by using sunscreen appropriately. The other thing that sunscreen may do is prevent skin aging. So that's always another good reason to try it out.
Sharona, thanks for your call. Chris is with us at University Place today, and he has a question about time. Chris, go right ahead.
Hi there. I've heard that the strongest rays of the sun are between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. So if I'm at the pool, let's say 5 p.m., 5:30, I tend to not put on sunscreen. I just feel like, oh, you know, it's getting late. I don't need to do that. Should I still be putting on sunscreen in the early evening, really late afternoon?
Yeah, it's a good question. It probably depends on the time of the year. Some times of the year at 5 o'clock, the sun can still be kind of intense. You're right. The peak noontime hours are really important to protect yourself against. But there's probably times of the year, midsummer, when 5 o'clock could still be kind of intense. I think if you're noticing that you're getting any sort of color during those times, that's a sign that you're getting more sun exposure than we'd like you to get.
Chris, thanks for your call. Alicia's with us today in Renton. Alicia, thanks for joining us. What's your question?
Yeah, hi. A couple of years ago, I started developing, an allergy to sunscreen. I would get a really itchy red rash, and the skin around my eyes would start swelling, and it was a pretty intense reaction. And so I did a little reading, and I learned a little bit about chemicals some chemicals to avoid, but I just wanted to know what I can use as an alternative to kind of what you usually find on the shelves, which I tend to have a really strong reaction to.
So the thing about allergies to sunscreen, there's some actual active ingredients in sunscreen that some people can be allergic to, but then there's also a bunch of other ingredients that are in what we call the vehicle or the cream base of the sunscreen, and those are shared by other types of personal care products or cosmetics that you might use, that you could be allergic to one of those ingredients as well. Sometimes it's just trial and error, but people tend to not be allergic to the more physical blockers. Those are the titanium and zinc oxide type products. And if you limit the active ingredients to those, you might find some better luck with getting a sunscreen that you don't react to.
Thanks for your call, Alicia. We have run out of time. Dr. Andrea Kalous, medical director at the UW Dermatology Center at Roosevelt, and didn't get to nearly all of the questions we have on the line with us. Is there a website that you recommend where people can go and get some good, reliable information about this topic?
So there's the skincancer.org is a website that's reliable. There's also the American Academy of Dermatology, that's AAD website. They have information on self-skin exams, on skin cancer detection, and those would be ones that I think would be good resources.
Great. And we can probably get those web addresses and include it at kuow.org. Maybe you want to tell someone else about this interview. They might be interested in hearing it, too. It's going to be up there by later today. Dr. Kalous, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.